Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle from The Table in Uniontown. Thanks for tuning into our podcast this week. We're happy you're here. This is the live recording from this Sunday's sermon. We hope that as you listen, you'll more deeply understand the truth of God's word and how much he loves you. Let's jump in.
See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes the practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Good morning, everyone. It is such a blessing to be with all of you on this beautiful day. It's hard to believe that it has been over a year since I was given the opportunity of preaching here for the first time. And quite incidentally, it was also on 1 John. But apparently, Joey did not think I did too horrible of a job, that he has graciously given me another opportunity to teach God's word to you again today. Though it might be a little bit different for me today, seeing as how Joey is physically in the audience this time. Maybe a little bit more pressure for myself, but I think it will all work out for all parties involved. But before I do get started, so there was a little bit of a snafu this morning. I had this all worked out in my sermon because for some reason I thought that my brother's birthday was today. I was incorrect. So, Greg, wherever you are, I'm sorry for lying to you. But it is actually Tuesday. So everybody on Tuesday, blow up his phone. I got you. So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Ethan Brana. I attend Evermore Community Church, and at this point, I am finishing up a degree in theological training, which has put me in the position of having to preach at various times over the next 8 weeks. As we press on through the book of 1 John, I will be preaching on chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Over the past 4 weeks, we have dug into this book as the author shares with us how we know that we know that we know Jesus. As we continue on, we will look at how we can continue to be assured of our salvation, that we truly know God. As I go through the passage of Scripture today, the three things I will look at is what it teaches us about ourselves, what it teaches us about sin, and then ultimately, what it teaches us about Jesus. As we dive into God's Word today, I pray that it not only leaves you refreshed, but it also leaves you excited and energized to know Jesus more deeply and more intimately. Has there ever been a moment or anything in your life that has been so unbelievable, but at the same time so irrevocably true? Maybe in this situation we compare it to the fact that Joey likes the Dodgers. Though it is something that we know to be true, it is still very perplexing and unfathomable that the more we dwell upon it, it's just, why? So Maybe if I am invited back to preach again, I will wear a San Francisco Giants jersey. Just to poke a little fun with you. But I feel if I did do that, Joey would hop straight to the third step of Matthew 18:17 and consider me a unbeliever. Ultimately, what I'm trying to communicate is that as we go through life, there will always be these pieces of truth that seem wild and outlandish because of the audacity of what that truth is actually communicating. As we proceed to go through the book of 1 John today, I will continue to discuss something that is even more unbelievable and hard for us to comprehend at times, something that is so central and pertinent to who we are as believers. As we ask this first question, we look to ourselves. What does this passage of Scripture teach us about ourselves? As we look to verse 1, we can see that our new identity is that of children of God. For those who are disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus, this foundational truth is now who we are and who we always will be. This is what I referenced to earlier, the truth that at times can be unbelievable and unfathomable. I believe for most in the church, myself included, this is a truth that we can take for granted and not understand the value of what it actually means. It is so easy for us to gloss over and not truly comprehend the magnitude of what has been given to us. However, it is in this act that we see the magnificence of God's love, that he allows us and enables those who were once rebellious to his ways to draw near and to be considered children of God. It is in the moment that is described in Romans 10:9, which says, "Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved." That we enter from the kingdom of death to the kingdom of life, from bondage to freedom, from a child of the devil to a child of God. The question that now lies before us is, how do we know that we have truly passed from one kingdom to the other? How are we assured that we have come to know him who has set us free? How do we differentiate ourselves from that of the world? The simple answer to this question is that of how we live our lives. As we move on, the question that now must be asked is, what do we learn about sin amidst this passage of 1 John, and how does it apply to the way we live our lives? If we look at verse 4, it states that everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. If I was to look up the word lawlessness, it would be defined in the Greek as the utter disregard for God's law. If we are now in Christ and we are honest with ourselves, we were all at that place at some point in our lives. Due to our broken sin nature, we are born with an utter disdain and repulsion for the ways and purposes of God. There's no denying that outside of Jesus, we have a magnetic draw that pulls us towards the ways of the world and away from the things of God. We can see this clarified in Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." However, for those who are now in Christ, that is not the case. Due to Christ and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, we are no longer bound by that curse. But how does this affect the way that we live? In verse 6, it states, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." If we read this and take it at face value, we would think that if I know, love, and abide in Jesus, that I should be living a perfect, blameless, faultless life. Let it be understood that that is not what I'm saying. Even if we go back to verse 8 of chapter 1, it states, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." It was a popular belief of the Gnostics of the time that living a sinless life was achievable. However, that idea goes in direct opposition of what the Bible teaches, as well as not being what the author is communicating. However, if we look at the use of sinning in the present tense, it indicates an act of continually sinning and seeing no wrong with it. What the author is trying to communicate in this moment is that if that is your mentality towards sin, you have not seen him nor known him. The moment we truly come into relationship with Jesus and all of our sin is laid bare to the creator of the universe, there comes a recognition of the weight of our sin, and there should be a sense of unworthiness to even have a relationship with him. Even as we look at the entirety of 1 John 3, 1-10, we see that the word sin or sinning is mentioned 10 times. As the author is trying to drive home the severity and the grievousness of the act that separates us from God. However, for all of us, whether we are in Christ or have never heard his name before, we all have to make a response in reference to the person of Jesus. As we come to the ultimate question, not only for this sermon, but for life as a whole, what does Scripture teach us about Jesus? More specifically, in this moment, though, we must ask, what does this passage of 1 John teach us about Jesus? If we go to verse 5, it states, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sins." As we look here, the reason that Jesus came was to take away sins, to redeem those who were far from him. If we continue to search through the Scripture, the reason for Jesus coming, it would take us to Luke 19:10. In this passage, it states, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." From these Scriptures, and the many more that we can spend hours reciting, we can conclude that the reason in Jesus coming was to save those who were separated from the Father, pertaining to what it says in John 3:16. Or to save those whom he had compassion on, as they were like sheep without a shepherd, as stated in Mark 6:34. As well as he has come because he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, as according to Ezekiel 18:23. We can see, even going back to Isaiah 53:7, that Jesus was the foretold Lamb of God that was to take away the sins of his people. In that passage, it states, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Even as we look to verse 8 of our passage for this week, it states that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. This was the reason in his coming. This was the reason for his birth. This was the reason for his death. This was the reason for his resurrection and his ascension. His life was meant to pave the way for us to return to the Father, to return to relationship, to return to fullness, to return to life. If we look to John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The question now is, what will we do with that abundant life? We now must answer that question in our own lives. In reference to sin, it is not a matter of how much can I sin and still be okay, or what is the threshold before I am no longer a Christian. The question is, how do we view the person and deity of Jesus Christ? Do we fully believe that he was who he said he was, or was he just a madman? There is no in between on that statement. Our response to sin must not be that of Romans 6:2, where it states, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" To which I would respond as Paul did when he said, "By no means. How can we who died in sin still live in it?" If we truly know him and have been saved by his grace, we will desire to do anything and everything we possibly can, so we will by no means bring any disdain upon the name of Christ. If we look at I. Howard Marshall's commentary of 1 John, he makes a statement that he is the righteous one and the pure one, a thought which is amply confirmed elsewhere in the New Testament. It follows that, at the very least, his people should be opposed to sin. As we continue on this mentality, however, it does not only apply to sins that we want to do, but we choose not to, but also to areas where the Lord has called us to be obedient and sacrifice, even though it is difficult. The question is not, are we living out religious rules so that we can try and justify ourselves, which is impossible, but rather, are we willing to make Jesus the Lord of our lives? Are we willing to give Jesus a blank check and tell him, you can do whatever you want with it? Are we fully submitted to the will and the lordship of Jesus Christ? Do we have the attitude of Isaiah, as he states in Isaiah 6:8? And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. These are the questions that I cannot answer for you. The only one that can answer them is yourself. However, I will end by saying that we know him when all we desire is to enjoy God and to see him exalted. Is that the cry of our heart? Is that our true pursuit of life amidst the vanity of fleeting pleasures that bring no satisfaction nor fulfillment? Are we able to say about ourselves, as was said about David, that we are a people after God's own heart? Michelle, you can come. As we come to the end of the service, we take communion together every week. As we come to this time of taking the bread and the cup, I want to encourage you to take this time to sit with the Lord, not as an act of religious duty or obligation, but rather out of an awe-inspired worship. I pray that you use this time to sit, contemplate, and soak in the thought that we are children of God, not because of what we do, not because of the consistency of our repentant prayers, nor because society tells us that we are all generally good people, but solely because of the atoning sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that in this time we contemplate not only the fact that Jesus is our Savior, but that he is our Lord. Ask him and plead with him and seek the practicality of what this looks like to have a heart of worship, adoration, and submittedness as shown in Isaiah 6:8. Not out of a place of necessity, but rather committed adoration of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world.
Thanks so much for listening to our Sunday service. If you're interested in joining us in the future, you can find us at 17766 Cleveland Avenue Northwest on Sunday mornings at 10. Additionally, we host a meal every first and third Sunday after service in order to fellowship with one another. Visit aseatforyou.org for more information. We hope you'll join us next week. Go in peace.